Of all the churchy celebrations that I actually enjoyed as a precocious young Catholic, Palm Sunday was the foremost of all of them. For exactly the reason you might be thinking. The palm frond. This not so modern fidget spinner provided me and many other kids plenty of moments for playing in the pews. My parents were relieved from having stopping me from chanting in the pews as the priest chanted the words of institution. So every year without fail, my parents, sister and I would come early to church, which was a miracle in itself, to receive our fronds, and then start that ritual that would harness our collective excitement and the excess sugar. Making palm crosses. And we would make them just before the priest possessed with his aspergillium, this is called the sprinkler, to bless all of the wonderful palm fronds. I, of course, never finished mine on time. So I would always hold up my half-completed masterpiece, hoping for a couple of drops of holy water that will bump the project up to an A+. At least that's what I remember from my childhood about this day. This ritual helped me to focus on why we're all here in the first place. The death and resurrection of our God. And while these crosses are a far cry from the violent method of execution that was crucifixion, they serve as signs, reminding us of what kind of God and what kind of life we are called to. And though we might have expected from Luke's gospel some kind of mention of palm fronds and Jesus maybe actually entering into Jerusalem, we heard none of that this morning. But we were shown a more excellent way. And here's the way. Imagine this. There is a king. And no, not a king with his knights of the round table heading for a quest for the Holy Grail. It is a humble carpenter with a makeshift saddle made of cloaks, a colt or a donkey as his noble steed, being welcomed by crowds on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus is the new King David, coming with the power of God to usher in a new and everlasting kingdom from Jerusalem unto the ends of the earth. The crowds were laying down their cloaks on the road, had this collective memory in mind. God had promised the coming of a figure like David, and the people had hoped that this David would be a quasi-religious, quasi-military leader, going forth with his knights into battle against the Roman oppressors. And with the weapons of war, they would slaughter all the Romans before David would sit on his throne as king. And when that day would come, all wars, all sin, all death would cease from the face of the earth, ushering in the Messianic age. And then it would be just like the words of St. Julian of Norwich. All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. And so the people casted their cloaks on the ground as signs that what they had remembered about God's promise and about their future was coming to pass in this humble carpenter. And today there are Christian nationalists who have a selective memory about our Messiah. They think that this Jesus is one who hated the sin and not the sinner, who was this king in control of his own life and not a victim of an oppressive state, who was triumphant and strong and did not identify with the poor and the lowly and the outcast. So you wonder, what exactly did they remember about Jesus' descent from the Mount of Olives? Or what about Jesus' death? It's human nature to avoid suffering and trauma. So I can see that people want to theologize themselves away from Jesus' passion. And it's present even in our churches. When we begin to bypass Good Friday and jump head on first to the joy of Easter. If we're honest, who really wants to remember and recount a story of weakness, suffering, the loss of bodily autonomy, pain, death? Whether that death be ours or another's. Our God didn't just allow a Jewish Palestinian teacher to be executed by the state. God himself experienced death. God became powerless in the face of state-sponsored terrorism. And God continues to suffer, to cry, to agonize in the crosses all around us. I see this God in the face of migrants who are losing their temporary protective status. In college and university students being targeted as they advocate for the most vulnerable. For all the trans folks that are friends or members of this congregation. All of you who suffer in some degree or another from chronic illness. Those who are the working poor, and those who are transient. Our God is not a God of triumph, but a God who forgives, who says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." It is this God who continues to be mourned by all the faithful men and women who see Christ crucified in the face of the most vulnerable in society. It is, as Luther says, the cross itself is our theology. This is our God, and this is our way of life. How, then, will you remember his way? This is why I love Palm Sunday. Because it reminds me why I'm here. It reminds me that I have a God who shows up exactly in the most broken and wounded parts of this world today. And these palm crosses are merely the beginning of our discipleship. It is a life that does not turn away from places and people that are experiencing suffering, that are the very presence of God, active and alive today, being crucified once more. It is a life that turns towards every Golgotha around us. And so I wonder, which one of these crucified ones will you think about as we enter into these days of Christ's passion?